John chapter 1, and we'll pick up where we left off in verse 10 and read down to verse 13 together. John chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." God will bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart through this passage of the word of God? Father, we're so thankful for a copy of the Bible this morning. We know that there are so many that don't have that. And Lord, may you help us to take advantage of what you've given us. And we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our understanding, that we could enter into the depth of the truths that you have here presented to us today. And Lord, I do pray, as already been prayed, if there's someone here that's never received you, Lord, our prayer is they wouldn't leave the property until they have believed on Christ and been able to be born again into your family. We pray, Lord, that you would help every one of us to humble our hearts now and get something from your scripture. And we'll thank you for that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, really, there's just 2 points, and there's 4 verses. Verse 10, the Bible says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Of course, we're talking about him being the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first point is, the world knew him not. And then verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." So 2 great things the Bible tells us about this world and how it related to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he was here. Number 1, they knew him not. Number 2, they received him not. Now, we know that was true about the world that was then when Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, but it doesn't have to be that doesn't have to be true about you. It is true about most people that they don't know who Jesus is. And what I will get into that in just a moment. I'm not talking about an intellectual understanding or knowing about him. When you say no, the world knew him not, they saw him, they touched him, they heard his word, they knew the facts about him, but they knew him not in the way God wanted them to know him. And the Bible says they received him not. So the first thing I want to call your attention to is that the world doesn't know God. You live in a world that does not know God. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter 9, John chapter 8, would you turn just a few pages there? Jesus says this in John chapter 8 and verse 19. When they come to Jesus and they ask him basically just, "Who are you? We thought we know who you are, but tell us who you are." John chapter 8 verse 19, the Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also." This is a great truth also presented in John chapter 14. Would you turn over there? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know the Father. In other words, there's no way to know God without knowing Jesus Christ. So all of the talk in the world about God, whether it's the God of religion or the God that this world talks about, you know, a higher power or, you know, the God or all, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you don't know who God is. There's no way to know God without knowing Jesus. No way to know him. And I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus. I'm talking about knowing him in a personal way. Here we find in John chapter 14, one of his own disciples was questioned about whether or not he knew him. You know the verse in John 14 where Jesus said in verse 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But the Bible says in verse 7, Jesus saying this, John 14, 7, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." In other words, what Jesus Christ says is this: if you would know me, you would know the Father. If you knew the Father, you would know me. But then the Bible says in the next verse, Philip, that's one of his disciples, saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He's saying, Philip, if you know me, you know the Father. But if you don't know me, you don't know the Father. In other words, the world's idea of God is bogus if they don't know who Jesus is. And there's no way to understand God without understanding Jesus Christ. Because he is the revelation of God to man. And Philip says, Show me the Father. And Jesus says, Well, evidently you didn't know me. Because if you know me, you know my Father. And the Bible lets us know that this world does not know God because they don't know Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said to Philip, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or just believe for the work's sake. In other words, you should know who I am, Philip, because of what I've done. And the world should have known who Jesus is just because of what he did. Look at chapter 9 of John. We're staying right here in this book, in John chapter 9. The world knew him not, but they really have no excuse. They should have known who he was. In John chapter 9, the Bible tells us, in verse 29, if we'll start reading there, there's no excuse for anybody not to know God, or not to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's their own willful ignorance. John 9, verse 29. The Bible says this. We know, now this is the story of how Jesus Christ made a blind man, a man that was born blind, see, gave him his sight. And here they bring him before the Jews, and they begin to question him, and they say to him in verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. Well, I'd stop there. How do you know that? You chose to believe that. You weren't there when God spoke to Moses. But you chose to believe that God spoke. You know, most of the things that we know, somebody said, well, I only believe in things I can experience. Or I don't only believe in things that I can have personal knowledge about. That's not true. You had no personal knowledge of your birth. You were there, but you didn't know you were there. You have no personal knowledge of what's going on in the solar system, but you have beliefs in that. There's all types. You can't see things that you believe are there. There are microscopic things that you believe in that you've never seen. I mean, the world believes in evolution. They never observed that. They never saw that. They have faith in that. And here they come to this man. They say, we know that God spake unto Moses. Well, how do you know that? As for this fellow, I'm in verse 29, talking about Jesus. We know not from whence he is. We don't know who this guy is. We don't know if God's spoken to him. We don't know who this Jesus is. Look at the next verse. The Bible says this in verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He said, what a marvelous thing, you don't know who he is. How in the world could he have opened my eyes? I've been born blind. They kick him out of the synagogue, and the Bible said in verse 35, drop down, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Will you believe and accept and know who I am? Jesus, the Son of God. And what does he say? Verse 36, he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Here is an honest heart. I don't know all the answers, but I want to know them. Show me, let me understand it. And the Bible says in verse 37, And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Jesus plainly declares to him, I'm the Son of God. And he says, the Bible says, verse 38, And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He comes into a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though everybody should have known who he was, the Bible says, they knew him not. They should have known him. How can you raise the dead and not know who that is? How can you open blinded eyes and not know who that is? How can this world not know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? You know, even our very calendar is dated from this man. I mean, it doesn't matter if you live in Pakistan or Japan, amen, or Russia or South America or in some jungle somewhere. Everybody, we live in the same year, right? 2018, which is this year. And it's all dated by one man. It's not dated by Mao Zedong. It's not dated by Buddha or Muhammad. It's not dated by Moses. It's not dated by a president. It's not dated by Alexander the Great. One man has set the course of the history of the whole world. And human history itself is dated from this man. And you don't know who he is? Oh, so our wise, degraded, God-rejecting intellectual community has come up with, well, it's 2018, but it's CE 2018 instead of AD 2018. What is CE? Who cares? They call it the common era. You can call it whatever you want to. It's still dated by one man. The event that caused you to date your years is the Son of God that came into this world. And man, he can't get away from that. And no man spake like that man. And no man did the miracles that man do it. They said, hey, when Christ comes, if this is not it, would he do more miracles than this man? How in the world could they not know who he is? They didn't want to know who he was. They knew him not, even though he was in the world. They knew him not, even though the world was made by him. What a strange thing that the world would not recognize its own maker. It would be a terrible thing if you couldn't recognize your own mother or your own father or your own home place. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made all things, made the world and all that in it is, and yet they didn't know who he was. You know what's sad this morning? There are people right here in this building this morning that can't recognize the Lord. There are people right here this morning, you think this is just a religious service. And yet, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, when you're gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Do you even know he's here? Do you even recognize that Jesus is here this morning? You say, well, I can't see him. Yeah, that's the problem with the world. The Bible says this, and just turn over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When people try to understand God, they try to understand God with their own intellect or their own senses. And the Bible says you can't understand God that way. You can't know God that way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at it. He said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20, where is the wise? 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Look at verse 21, please. For after that in the wisdom of God, look at it now, the world by wisdom knew not God. You can't understand God with your own wisdom. That's why most people flunk out and they never learn who God is. Because you can't understand God. You cannot know God by wisdom. You cannot know God by pluses and minuses or the facts of the universe or humanity or philosophy. The world by wisdom knew not God. You can't figure God out. He's too big for your brain. If you could figure God out, you'd be just as smart as he is. The world by wisdom knew not God. You can't understand God that way. Well, I believe in God if he'll prove himself to me. God is too big of a God and you're too insignificant for him to do that. He says, by faith you've got to believe in me. By faith you've got to understand who I am, not by your own wisdom. The Word of God says this about the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? That's what I'm doing right now. In other words, God wants you to understand who he is and know who he is through the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why most of the world will never know who God is and will never know who Jesus is, because they will never listen to anybody preach to them who he is by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, look at chapter 2. He says in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, I'm still in 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 2, just a page over, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God. What you need to do is you need to take everything you know and put it aside and start finding out what God knows. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know who he was. That's why he crucified. You're not going to crucify the God that made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the fish of the sea, and the fowls of the air, and made you. Why would you kill that one? Because you didn't know who he was. Why would somebody reject a simple plan of salvation that's given to them when their whole eternity of heaven and hell depends upon it? Because they just don't know. They can't see. They're blind. Well, how in the world are we going to know God? Look in this same text in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Drop down to verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know what? You have to have the Spirit of God give a revelation to your understanding of who Jesus is. Because look at verse 14. But the natural man, what's that next word? Now, that's connected in our text in John 1, remember? We only got 2 points this morning. They knew him not. They received him not. Well, they received him not. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he, there's the word, know them, because they're what? They're spiritually discerned. The only way I can know God, I've got to know him spiritually. And man is dead spiritually. But the good news is, you have a living Word of God that the Spirit of God has inspired. And you have a living Holy Spirit that will take this living Word and will speak to your heart. And then you've got a choice to receive it. And then you've got an understanding and a knowledge that'll come if you'll open your heart to it. The world knew him not. Do you know him this morning? I didn't say, do you know about him? Do you know him this morning? The Bible lets us know that he said in 1 John chapter 2. Would you turn over there? I tell you what, there are some people that are saved that don't know God. And when you talk about knowledge, there's levels to personal knowledge. Now, you guys may know my wife here, but you don't really know her. Trust me. Right? We could say that about everybody, right? The knowledge that we have of each other is a superficial one. We see each other a few times a week, but when you live with somebody, you get to know them, don't you, brother?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you find out things that nobody else knows or understands. Now, listen, you know what some people's problem is? They know God only superficially. Now, we know there's some people, they reject God totally. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the Bible. And they're willingly ignorant of those things. But there's some people that say, oh, I know God. Sure, I know Jesus. But they know him so superficially that there's not really a relationship there. I can know the facts of Donald Trump. I've never met Donald Trump. I've never met Obama. But I know the facts about them. I know what they look like. But if you ask me if I know them, I've read things about them. Listen to me now. I've read things about them, but I've never met them. I don't know them. You can read things about Jesus. You can hear things about God. You can know all the facts, and they have no relationship with him. So how do I know that I know God? The world knew him not. But there's no excuse. He wants us to know it. That's why he came. He came into the world so you'd know him. Jesus came into the world so the whole world would know God. How can we know God? He's so far, as high as the heaven is from the earth. How can we know God? He came into the world so you'd know him. He wants us to know him. But no, watch this, 1 John. Oh, what a probing verse of scripture here. Some saved people don't even really know him. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 3, and hereby, look at it now, and hereby we do know that we know him. If we what? if we keep his commandments. Would you look at the next verse? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a what? Is a liar. And the truth is not in him. You don't know God if you don't do what he says. I said, you do not know God if you do not do what he says. You can give me the facts, but if you don't do his commandments, the book says you don't know him. You know, you can tell that some believers don't know God by how they live. You can tell a lot of people don't know God because of how they talk. You can understand that hey, all right, I know one thing about you. You may go to church. You may be able to tell me about something happened to you as a child. You may tell me who your mom and dad is. You may carry a Bible. You may have all these facts. But if you talk like that, if you walk like that, if you live like that, evidently you don't know God because you're not doing what he said. Word of God says, hereby we do know that we know him. Do you know him? You know, also knowing God is a pursuit. It should be of your whole life. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said that I may know him. Wait a minute, Paul, I thought you met him on a Damascus road one day. Oh, I did, but I really want to know him. Wait a minute, Paul, you've written all these books of the Bible about Jesus. Yeah, I have, but I really want to know him. I want to get to know him more and more. I want to have a deeper relationship and a deeper fellowship. The Bible tells us that if you really want to know God, you'll pursue him. Amen. You know, one reason we ought to come to church is because we want to know God. Right. Not that we want to be seen. Right. Not that we're trying to do a religious service. But we want to know who God is. We want a deeper understanding of the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Paul said that I may know him. I wonder this morning, do you know him? How well do you know him? Somebody asked me one time, how do you know that X is wrong? And I said, because I know the Lord. You know, I know what my wife and my children, I know what they like to eat. I know what you can do to please them because I know them. And now there's some things they don't care for. How do you understand that? You spend time with somebody long enough and you know what they like and what they don't like. You know why most people don't have any clue of what God likes and what he doesn't like? Because they never spent enough time with him to know who he is. Look, you don't even have to have a Bible verse about some things to know they're right or wrong. You just need to know God enough. And if you know God enough, you'll know, hey, he didn't care for that. Does that make sense? So the Bible says they knew him not. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him? Do you want to know him? You can be a believer, but yet just know facts, know him superficially. Go back to our text. He says he was in the world and the world knew him not. And then the Bible tells us he goes from knowing to receiving. They received him not. The word of God says in John chapter 1 verse 11, he came into his own and his own received him not. They were his own. They should have known. You know, even his own half-brothers didn't receive him and believe on him. The ones that should have gravitated to him the most were unaware and unreceptive. The nation of Israel, the Jewish people, they were his own. They should have known. They should have received. But they said, no, we don't want him. They don't want him. He came. Even though he came unto them. You know, if somebody came to your house, you ought to be at least respectful enough that you wouldn't just say, not interested in you. You know what everybody wants? Everybody wants acceptance, right? We live in a day where everybody wants to be accepted with all their faults and flaws and failures and wickedness. But you know, there's really nothing about us as sinners that's worthy of acceptance. I mean, we have wicked thoughts, right? You might as well shake your head. That's true about you anyway, if you don't understand that. We have wicked thoughts. We have a wicked heart. We have a record of sin. Well, none of us deserve to be accepted. There's too many things wrong with us. that other people don't even know about. And if they knew about it, they'd say, get away from me. But Jesus Christ had none of those problems. If there was anybody that was worthy to be accepted, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that had no flaw. He was the one that did all things well. That if you ever wanted a friend, that would have been him. And they said, no. He came into his own received him not. We don't want him. Why? He's the best thing that ever walked planet Earth. We still don't want him. We would rather have something else. We would rather have something different. He's too holy. He's too right. They received him not, even though he came unto them, though they were his own. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They didn't receive him, though it was so easy to receive him. You know, God could have made this thing hard. He could have said, you know, if you want to receive my son, then I want you to do 1,000 push-ups a day. Or here's a list of things you do, and when you get to the end of the list, then you can have my son. He didn't do that. You know what he said? He said, look, if you'll believe on my son, if you'll receive my son, it's so simple, it's by faith. Man. And that's the thing. That's what differentiates a Bible-believing individual from somebody that is just involved in religion. We believe that salvation is in a person. We believe that we are to receive a person, as many as received him, not as many as received this creed or this religion or this sacrament or this baptism or this function. No, as many as received him. What I don't want a religion, I don't want a church, I want a person. Because everything about God is wrapped up in a person, and eternal life is wrapped up in a person, and you can have a religion and not have Christ. As many as received him. You know, some people think they received Jesus through their stomach. And they'll go to Mass and they'll take something in their mouth, and they think they're receiving Christ by what they're putting it. You don't receive Christ with your belly. You don't receive Christ with your hand. You receive Christ by faith with your heart. I want him. And that's so simple. It's so simple that the world misses it. Can't be that easy. Hey, salvation is wonderful, but it is easy. You know, some of these people argue about, well, how do I receive Christ? How do I know I'm saved? And what process do I go through? What perfect prayer do I need to say? Or how do I need to go about it? All you need to do to be saved is to receive Christ and believe on his name. That's all you need to do. Is it that it's that easy? And that's, some people even made an issue. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say to ask Jesus to come into your heart, and that's not in the Bible. No, that's not in the Bible, but receiving him is in the Bible. And the way we get saved is we receive him. We open up our heart to him. The world received him not. Have you ever opened up your heart and received Christ? It doesn't matter if you've done what your Sunday school teacher said. It doesn't matter if you try to please your parents. It doesn't matter if you've come to church a million times. Have you opened up your heart and really received Christ? You can do it. The Bible says with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why we tell people, hey, if you want Christ, call out to him. It's just a way from our mouth calling out to him, from our heart saying, Lord, the door's open. Come in. Come inside. I want you. I want your sacrifice. I want your salvation. Salvation is in a person, and we're not trying to just get out of hell free ticket. We want Jesus. Lord, I want you. I believe you. I believe what this book says about you. And I'm receiving you because as a sinner, without you, I have no hope. And faith that simple is hard for some. It's easy for man to trust in his own self, but it's awful hard for him to trust God. It's easy for somebody to lean upon the works of righteousness which they have done, but it's hard for some people just to say, okay, I'll receive Christ. Look at John chapter 5. Doing the wrong thing is always more convenient, it seems, than doing the right thing. Jesus says something opposite in John chapter 5 of receiving him. He talks about receiving the devil. The devil's man. Watch this, John chapter 5. Verse 42. John 5, 42. But I know you. Isn't that something? You may not know God, but he knows you. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the hearts and thoughts of all men. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Boy, what a terrible thing to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says in verse 43, look at it. I am come in my Father's name. And ye, there it is, we're talking about they received him not. And ye receive me not. Look at your Bible. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He said, I've come in my Father's name. I didn't come bragging. I didn't come saying to the whole world who I am. And you didn't receive me. But if someone came in his own name, and his own power, his own ability, his own strength, his own recommendation, you'll receive that guy. You know what you can write there? You can write that Antichrist. When the Antichrist gets here, when the beast gets here, you know what the Bible says? He'll cause all to receive a mark and receive a number of his name. The whole world is gearing up to not receive God, not receive Christ, but to receive Antichrist. And when he comes, he's going to come in his own name. He's going to be the big shot. He's going to solve the world's problems. And they said, Jesus said, if I'd have come like that, you'd have took me. You know why? Because all you care about is flesh. All you care about are things you can see. All you care about things you can hear. You have no spiritual heart. But when the Antichrist gets here, when the devil gets here, you're going to open wide the doors. And the Bible tells us that this terrible event that's coming upon the Jewish nation, when the Antichrist gets here, they are going to receive him and they're going to make a covenant with him. The Bible says, calls it a covenant of death and hell. And they rejected the Son of God, but they're going to accept the Son of Satan. They rejected the one that could take away their sin, but they're going to accept the one that comes as the strong man. The powerful one. Oh, we don't want this carpenter, this one that came humbly, this servant. We want a big shot. We want a big man. Well, you're going to get a big shot. It's going to be the devil's big shot. But it's going to damn your soul. Jesus said, here's your choice. Who you want to receive? You know what the truth is? A lot of people in their body, they receive all types of things. They receive all types of sin in their body. They receive all types of substances in their body. You know, nobody makes these people take dope. You know what they do? They open their body up to it. They receive it. It is so much easier to receive for the natural man, to receive something sinful, than to receive him that's spiritual. Jesus said, if I came in my own name, you would receive me. But I've come into my own, and my own's received me not. But, he says, as many as received him. I'm glad that's the good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are a group of people that says, yes, Lord, I want you. There are a group of people still in this world that says, yes, Lord, I've come to know you and I've come to find out you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And I've come to find out that what I need to believe in and what I need to receive are not things that my body wants and not things that my mind will run after, but I need to receive the things of the Spirit of God. I've opened my heart to you, Lord, and I'm shutting the door on all that devilish stuff. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why in the world wouldn't somebody receive Christ when it will make you something you could have never been outside of him? Jesus has made me a son of God. I mean, have you read the designation of the title? As many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. If you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find that was a phrase given to the angels. You know, I'm sorry, there's nothing angelic about you. For a while, for a baby, for a while there maybe. Oh, look at the little angel. Yeah, and then it turns into a devil. right? Sometimes not very, very long coming. There's nothing angelic about us. But God says this, if you'll receive my son, I'll turn you into the son of sons of God. I'll make you like my son. I'll put you in a different family. Look at the next verse. Which were born. He says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'll let you be born into my family. Who would not want to be related to God Almighty? We live in a day, people look at their genealogies, you know, and you get DNA tested and all that. I want to know who's in my family tree. And you'll find weirdo people back there, and you'll find, man, if I could just go back 100 generations and find somebody that was important, I'll be excited. Well, guess what? If you receive Christ, you're related to God Almighty. I mean, you're in His family. You talk about being related to somebody. I'm related to the one that hung the stars. I'm related to the one that breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. I'm related to the one that owns everything. He's the heir of all things. And I'm in His family. You know what that tells us? God's not everybody's father. That's the lie of this world. That's the lie that this world tells constantly. God is not everybody's father. Well, that doesn't seem fair. No, what doesn't seem fair is that the sins of man crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not fair. But this is fair. God says, anybody that wants to can be in my family. You just got to receive my son. If you'll receive my son, if you'll believe on his name, you can be in my family. But if you won't receive my son, I'm not your father, and one day I'll look at you and say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew. You're not in my family. You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. But it didn't have to be that way, because I opened up the door to the whole world. But if you don't want my son, you don't want me. And if you don't want the Son of God, if you don't want the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can't quit believing in yourself and believe on Him, you'll never change families. How easy to receive. How easy to believe. What benefits the individual gets out of changing families with God as their father. And some say, I'm just not interested. By the way, that new birth, we'll talk more about that when we get to chapter 3. But that new birth, it's not of blood. It's not something physical. It's not of the will of the flesh. Verse 13, it's nothing you can do to create the new birth. Nor of the will of man. Look up here. You don't sit in the woods somewhere and say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. You can't will it into existence. Did that just pass you by? The new birth is not by the will of man. That doesn't mean that you don't have an active involvement with your will of receiving Christ. It's saying that your will can't make you a son of God. What you will into existence. You know, all these weirdo Scientologists, all these, you know, the mind, and you know, let's will it into Armstrongism, not will it into existence. No, no. You can't will anything. You can't will one sin out of your life. Oh, I'm going to quit it. I'm going to get it out of my life. You can't get sin out of your life. Oh, I'm going to get God in my life. You can't get God in your life. All you can do is receive His Son. All you can do is believe on His Son. And if you receive His Son, if you believe on His Son, then God will do the birth. You see that? God will birth you into this family. God will make you a new creature in Christ. None of us have the power to do that. He's got the power to do that. My part is receiving and believing. His part is working the new birth in my life. He says, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on Him. I've got to hurry and quit, but look at John chapter 12. Receiving Christ. Have you received Christ? I didn't ask you if you're a Baptist. I didn't ask you if you're whatever you are. Have you received Christ? I didn't ask you how long you've been in church. Have you received Christ? Say, well, how do I do that? Well, John chapter 12, verse 48 gives you a hint. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me, John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my what? words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In other words, the Lord Jesus connects receiving him to receiving his word. The Lord Jesus connects rejecting him with rejecting his word. You know what his word said? His word tells you you're a sinner. How do I receive Christ? Well, I've got to receive what he said about me. You know what his word says? I'm the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the only way. I've got to believe he's the only way. I've got to believe what he said, what he did for me. It's connected with receiving his word. Because faith, the only way I can have faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Receiving Christ, connected with receiving his words. Secondly, receiving Christ is connected with humility and childlike faith. We won't read it, but that's Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Jesus talks about receiving as a little child. Aren't children, children are gullible. Children are, I was going to say innocent, but I can't say that no more. I've had children. Children are gullible. But children are very trusting, aren't they? They're believing. I mean, they'll jump off. If daddy says, all right, jump. And then the adult says, I wonder if he'll catch me. I wonder if he's strong enough to catch me. I wonder how high this is. But not a child. Just childlike faith. You know what's true also about children? It's getting to be less and less so. Children are usually a lot more humble than older people. That's why the Bible tells us to correct our children, because you better correct them while they're still humble enough to take it. And what the Lord is saying about receiving the kingdom of God as a little child, he says, you're not going to receive Christ without humbling yourself. You're not going to receive Christ without that childlike humility and faith. Yes, I'm just trusting you. When we receive Christ, we not only receive him, but we get all things with it. We receive mercy, we receive forgiveness, we receive eternal life, we receive the Holy Ghost, because all that stuff is wrapped up in receiving him. He's the package. The Bible says eternal life is in his Son. So if I get his Son, guess what I get? I get eternal life. All the blessings of God are wrapped up in Jesus. If I'll just receive Jesus, I get all the blessings of God. Have you received Jesus? You know what's strange? The Bible tells us that Jesus was willing to receive sinners. And yet sinners, so many times, are not willing to receive him. That was one of the criticisms about Jesus. They came to him in Luke 15:2 and they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man, he'll go talk to anybody. He'll go talk to prostitutes. This man will go into to the wealthy, rich, and religious homes, and yet he'll also let these street people come up to his feet while he's in those homes. This man goes to a guy that robbed and stole money from everybody in town and said, I want to come home with you and eat today at your house. And today, salvation is coming to your house. Why? Because Jesus says, I'll receive sinners. That song in that book says that Christ receiveth sinful men, even me with all my sin. Jesus will receive us. Why doesn't humanity receive him? He said in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. If God will receive us, why won't we receive him? John 1:16 says, of his fullness have all we received. Man, even lost man, has received every benefit, every blessing, every grace from God. And God will receive sinful men. But so many times, people, they don't have time to receive Christ. They're not interested in Christ. They don't want Christ in their life. They want money in their life. They want fame in their life. They want success in their life. They want to receive comfort in their life. They've got all these things they want to receive. But Jesus Christ, God, the things of God is not one of them. When God looks at us, and he says, I'll take all of you, come on. And yet we sit here and God, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Can I come in? Can I fellowship with you? Can I sup with you? Can I get to know you better? Will you let me in your life? Why do you keep living your life without me? Will you let me in? Will you give me a little of your heart? Will you give me more of your time? He sits there and knocks. I said, you know, I got other things to do.